All of this we heard from Rixig's messengers, then from folk who had survived the massacre. And one of those was a girl the same age as Ragnar's daughter. And she said the monks had raped her one at a time, and afterward they had forcibly baptized her. She said there had been nuns present as well, women who had urged the men on and had taken part in the slaughter afterward. "Nests of vipers," Ragnar said. I had never seen him so angry, not even when Sven had exposed himself to Thyra. We dug up some of the Danish dead, and all were naked and all were blood-spattered. They had all been tortured. A priest was found and made to tell us the names of the chief monasteries and nunneries in Northumbria. Geruam was one, of course, and just across the river was a large nunnery, while to the south, where the Weir met the sea, was a second monastery. The house at Strunshall was close to Jofrik, and that held many nuns, while close to Bebbanburg, on the island that Beorka had always told me was sacred, was the monastery of Lindisfarina. There were many others, but Ragnar was content with the chief places, and he sent men to Ívar and Ubba, suggesting that the nuns of Strunshall should be dispersed, and any found to have joined the revolt should be killed. Then he set about Geruam. Every monk was killed. The buildings that were not made of stone were burned. The treasures, for they did indeed have silver and gold hidden beneath their church, were taken. I remember we discovered a great pile of writings, sheet upon sheet of parchments, all smothered in tight black writing. And I have no idea what the writings were, and now I never will, for they were all burned. And once Geruam was no more, we went south to the monastery, at the mouth of the Weir, and we did the same there. And afterward crossed the Tyne and obliterated the nunnery on the northern bank. The nuns there, led by their abbesses, deliberately scarred their own faces. They knew we were coming, and so, to deter rape, cut their cheeks and foreheads, and so met us all bloody, screaming and ugly. Why they did not run away, I do not know. But instead they waited for us, cursed us, prayed for heaven's revenge on us, and died. I never told Alfred that I took part in that famous harrowing of the northern houses. The tale is still told as evidence of Danish ferocity and untrustworthiness. Indeed, every English child is told the story of the nuns who cut their faces to the bone so that they would be too ugly to rape. Though that did not work any more than King Edmund's prayers had saved him from arrows. I remember one Easter, listening to a sermon about the nuns, and it was all I could do not to interrupt and say that it had not happened as the priest described. The priest claimed that the Danes had promised that no monk or nun would ever be hurt in Northumbria, and that was not true. And he claimed that there was no cause for the massacres, which was equally false. And then he told a marvellous tale how the nuns had prayed and God had placed an invisible curtain at the nunnery gate, and the Danes had pushed against the curtain and could not pierce it. And I was wondering why, if the nuns had this invisible shield, they had bothered to scar themselves. But they must have known how the story would end, because the Danes were supposed to have fetched a score of small children from the nearby village and threatened to cut their throats unless the curtain was lifted, which it was. None of that happened. We arrived, they screamed, the young ones were raped, and then they died. But not all of them, despite the famous tales. At least two were pretty and not at all scarred. And both of them stayed with Ragnar's men, and one of them gave birth to a child who grew up to become a famous Danish warrior. Still, priests have never been great men for the truth, and I kept quiet, which was just as well. In truth, we never killed everybody, because Ravan drove it home to me that you always left one person alive to tell the tale, so that news of the horror would spread. Once the nunnery was burned, we went to Dunholm, where Ragnar thanked the Elderman Rixig, though Rixig was plainly shocked by the revenge the Danes had taken. "Not every monk and nun took part in the slaughter," he pointed out reprovingly. "They are all evil," Ragnar insisted. "Their houses," Rixig said, "are places of prayer and contemplation, places of learning." "Tell me," Ragnar demanded, "what use is prayer, contemplation, or learning? Does prayer grow rye? Does contemplation fill a fishing net? Does learning build a house or plough a field?